Good morning, friends. How are you? Good. So yes, if we've not met, my name is Charlie Salamone, the lead pastor here. And at Westview Bible Church, we have been doing a series on the Old Testament book of the Psalms. If you don't know, the Psalms are songs. They're songs in the Bible. And just like in our lives, if we flip on the radio, there are different songs that kind of speak to us in different times of our life, different experiences we might be going through. There are songs for when you're feeling angry, when you're feeling afraid, when you're feeling happy, when you're feeling sad. There are songs for all of those experiences and different questions in life that come up. There are songs that address those questions. So speaking of questions, something that I do on Wednesdays is I am part of our young adult ministry. I just barely make the cut. My wife says I don't, but I show up for this young adult ministry, and what we do sometimes we do this thing, we call it the whiteboard, where we just put a whiteboard up and we invite anyone to write down any questions they want about anything in life, and then we have this time where we vote for questions, and then we talk about the questions that we find most interesting that we all want to talk about. And, a lot of the questions that go up there are things that you might expect young adults to wonder about, but, as it pertains to the Bible and Christian living, is it okay if I do this? Is it a sin if I do that? What happens in life if this is what we do, or I'm a Christian now, I am saved, I have a relationship with God, does that mean I'm definitely saved later? I mean, is this something I can lose? There's lots of questions of that sort. And I was laying in bed a couple days ago, and I was thinking about these questions that I get. And I realized that a lot of these questions can be boiled down. You know what I mean? They can be boiled down, like all these different questions that we get, not all of them, but many of the questions we get, they can be boiled down to the same concern, to the same question. It's kind of like when I look at these questions that people ask, can I do this? Is this a sin? Can I fall away from being a Christian? Can I lose what I have? The question kind of at the core seems to be, am I safe and secure no matter what? How can I stay safe? Or To say it another way. I was talking this week, Janine, there she is. Hey, Janine. One of my French teachers, we were speaking in French, and she told me that someone asked her in a group, right? In a group recently, she said, someone asked her, what do I have to do to go to heaven? There's a question. If you boil down all these questions, what do I have to do to be sure, to know, to be secure? What do I have to do to go to heaven? That's not a bad question to ask. In fact, listen to what Jesus had to say. He seemed to think it was pretty important to concern yourself with such questions. Actually, what Jesus said was, everything else in life that you might be concerned with, everything else in life that you might be afraid of, don't be. Because at the end, worst thing that can happen is you die. You're afraid of people, they kill you. He's like, Jesus said, that's the worst thing. Luke 12, you can find it in Luke chapter 12. He says, don't be afraid of people, because what can they really do? They can kill you. That's it. But you should be afraid, do be afraid, do fear the one who, after death, can assign you to hell. He's like, that's what you should be concerned with. By the way, Jesus didn't say that to actually make you afraid.
Two verses later, he says, don't be afraid. He said that to bring you to a place where you feel safe. To answer that question of how can I be safe? He wants you not to live your life afraid. He wants you to feel safe, deeply safe. So that question, what do I got to do? It's kind of the ultimate question, isn't it? If you boil down all the questions like that, get every other question wrong, but get that question right, you've done well for yourself, right? Get everything else right and get that question wrong, what have you gained? You've gained nothing. This is the question. This is the question. What do I have to do? There's good news. If you're wondering, what do I have to do? There's good news. Good news for today. There's a psalm for that. Thank you. Okay, if you've been with us, if you don't get the joke, that's something we've been saying during this series. There's a psalm for that. Whatever it is you're wondering, there's a psalm for that. What do I have to do to go to heaven? Fair question. Good question. Very important question to ask. There's a psalm for that, and we're going to see it. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive in. Father God, help me speak clearly. Help me speak to the hearts of the people that are here in this room and the hearts of the people who might be listening now or later online. Let my words be from you. Let them be your words. And let us perceive that I am not just a person talking, but the truth that is going out is your truth. Let us see that. Let us perceive that and speak to our hearts because you are good. You are good. You are good. Guide us, guide me. In your name, Jesus, amen. Okay, let's read the first five verses of Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. All right, let me tell you what we're going to do, how we're going to walk through this today, give you a little bit of the format so you can follow along. Here, there is a certain blessing being discussed. Blessed is the man, you can say blessed is the man or woman. There's a blessing being discussed, something God gives, a blessing. Now, what we're going to do is first we're going to define what this blessing is. Then we're going to talk about who it's for. And then we're going to talk about how we can achieve it, all right? So that's just the way for you can follow along. What is the blessing? Who is it for? And how do I get it? All as we're asking this question, what do I have to do to go to heaven? Blessed is the one whose transgressions, another way of saying sin, basically. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Hear this part, because this is a weird part. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Blessed is the one whose sin does not count against them. Now, some might say, if you come here, you hear me say this from time to time, the blessing of God, the gift of God, the truth of God, the gospel, the good news is strange. It's weird. It's not normal or natural for our way of thinking. Something I sometimes say is if you don't see the gospel, the message of the Bible, if you don't see it as strange, I fear that maybe you don't get it. It's not normal to our way of thinking. Jesus or the scriptures actually say this, speaking of this exact truth. Isaiah 55, God says, my ways are not your ways. My thinking is not your thinking. This is not your normal way of thinking. What he's saying here is there is a blessing in which your sins don't count. That's what it says. He's never going to count them against you. That is weird to our way of thinking. In Isaiah 55, let the one who is wandering, let the one who is living in sin, let them turn to me and I will freely pardon. Free. I will freely pardon. And that is not how you do things. That's how I do things. Okay. What I've said thus far is this blessing is strange. Your sins don't count. That's strange. And if you don't see it as strange, if you don't see it as a normal way of human thinking, I'm going to help you see that with a little illustration of something that happened in our house this week that is not strange. Unfortunately, what I'm going to tell you, that happened, it's quite normal. Happens all the time. Something like this. I think it was Monday, maybe Tuesday. My wife and I are in the kitchen, and we hear a shriek. We hear a shriek. I don't know where my wife is. She's laughing somewhere probably. We hear a shriek. And it is the sound of a child in pain. Tovaya, she is in pain, and she yells, so-and-so threw a plate at me. I'm not going to out the sibling who did wrong here, but someone threw a plate at me, okay? Someone threw a plate at me, and she is crying in real pain. She's not making up. It's real pain. But I have to discern, based on the timbre, the sound, based on the tone of the crying, I have to discern, is this the pain of physical pain in which I need to respond in a certain manner? Because a plate, I don't know if we're talking about plastic plate or ceramic plate, there could be physical pain involved, of course. Or is this the pain of injustice, which is more likely? Is this the pain of someone did me wrong and I'm going to feel pain until an adequate punishment is given? You know that pain, right? I'm not discounting it. What I'm saying is it's real. No one had to teach her that. No one had to teach her this sense of justice. Someone did me wrong and I feel pain until a certain payment is made to rectify what just happened. You understand this, right? This is very clear. This is human way of thinking, and it's not bad. Justice, is justice a good thing? Yeah, justice is a good thing. Justice is a great thing. This sound that I hear often. So-and-so threw a plate at me. What I'm basically hearing is this cry for justice. One sibling did another sibling wrong. It happens all the time. And actually, God has been watching this play out. He has been hearing this. He knows this story because it's been playing out for quite some time. Open the Bible right in the beginning. Do you know what happened? Right in the beginning, it's like, probably like page 2 of your Bible, Genesis chapter 4. The first pair of siblings, what happens? Cain kills his brother Abel, murder. And then God, he goes later and he finds Cain, and he says, the blood of your brother Abel is crying out to me. What does that mean? It's just not, it's not that different than what I hear in my home. So threw a plate at me. Like, you need to deal with this. It's a cry for justice, right? And it's not a bad cry. It's a good cry. It's pretty reasonable for the blood of Abel to be calling out for that. That is human way of thinking. And that is why when we read, there is a blessing to be found in which your sins do not make sense. Your sins don't count. That does not make sense. There is a blessing to be found in which your sins don't count. Do you get that? The way the scriptures say it is, yes. Yes, the blood of Abel cries out. Yes, the land cries out for justice. Yes, justice is a good thing. The blood of Abel cries out. Book of Hebrews. The blood of Jesus, which speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Meaning, the blood of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. That's Jesus. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. The blood of Abel still cries out, and the blood of Abel cries out, justice, justice. Sins need to be paid for. Justice must happen. Blood of Abel cries out for justice. The blood of Jesus cries out, justice has been paid. Punishment has been given, paid in full. It is finished. You see, through Jesus, because of Jesus, yes, indeed, there is a way in which your sins don't count. Not because God simply ignores them. That would be unjust. Justice is a good thing. No, God doesn't ignore sins. But the message of the gospel is, in Christ, sins are paid for. So yes, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him, because they're paid for. That is the gospel. Okay, so we did the what? There is a special blessing to be found in which your sins don't count. That's the what of the blessing. Who is this for? I told you we're doing what, we're doing who, and then we're doing how. Who is this for? Is this for everyone? Does this apply to everyone? Is everyone's sins in the end not count? That's not what the psalm says, and that's not the teaching of Jesus. Jesus spoke pretty extensively and pretty often about a certain day of judgment that would happen, in which, yes, sins are paid for. That is a real thing. And look at the words of Jesus. Not everyone attains this special blessing. So it's important for us to see who is this blessing for. Well, if we just stick with the psalm, we're looking at Psalm 100. If we stick with the psalm, actually right at verse 2, what does it say? Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. That's a special blessing. That's the what. And in whose spirit is no deceit. That seems to be a little bit of the, I don't know if I'd use the word condition, but that seems to be kind of a marquee saying, this is who it's for. It's for the people. Who? Who is it for? It's for the one in whose spirit is no deceit. Now, what does that mean? Let's talk about what that means, because it's easy to get the wrong idea. When we think of what does it mean to have deceit, we probably think like it means like telling lies. Like, is that what it's saying? Like, blessed is the man whose sin doesn't count unless they tell lies. Is that what it's saying? No, that's not what it's saying. Because otherwise, a lot of us would have a big problem. Because lies, who hasn't told a lie? And, if it meant that, then it would pretty much negate the first part. It wouldn't make any sense for God to say, blessed is the one whose sins don't count, except for lying. Lying still counts. It's like, that's not what it says. That's not what it means, okay? What is he talking about when he says, blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, the one whose sins don't count. He doesn't have deceit. He or she doesn't have deceit. What does that mean? It's not talking about lying to one another on this level. What we're talking about with religion, what we're talking about is not your relationship to one another. It's about your relationship with him. And really, your relationship with one another should be an outflow of what's happening there. You know, if there's a problem here, pretty much always the answer is to work on that. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. Okay. So we don't want deceit between us and God. What does that mean? What does it mean to live that way? How should we say this? You know something? Cain? You know Cain who killed his brother? You might be surprised to hear that he was a religious man. You know that? Cain the murderer, he was a religious man. Does that surprise you? It probably doesn't surprise you, actually. Because when you look around at this world, you know that just because someone is religious doesn't mean there's anything good going on there. Okay? Can I get an amen? I mean, that's you don't have to look very far to see that religion can be a force for evil. You don't have to look very far at all. And in fact, when I am out chatting with people who are not believers, and at some point I tell them I'm a pastor or some way I bring up God, which is a good thing to do because we want to share the message. We want to share this good news of a blessing where our sins don't count. We want to share that. We want to talk about it. And I'll be talking with someone and they will say, you're talking about religion. And when they say that word, it's like religion. I just feel like, no, I don't want to be associated with that. I don't want to be associated with religion. Isn't that weird? I'm a pastor, but I don't want to be associated with religion because religion isn't a word that makes people feel good, and it isn't a concept that many people have warm, happy feelings about because quite often, bad things and bad people have operated and done things in the name of religion that we all can perceive as not good. I don't have to talk about the history of Quebec for you to know. It applies here. And I bet where you came from, I didn't come from Quebec. I moved here from the United States, but I could talk about some bad stuff that has happened and currently happens in the name of religion where I come from. I bet it's common where you come from because this is something that's been going on for quite some time. Cain, the first murderer, a religious man. And here's what else. When Jesus was around, the people that had a problem with him and the people that he had a problem with, you know, the conflict, the when Jesus found himself in an argument, if you want to call it that, conflict, it was with the religious people, wasn't it? It was with the religious people. And you know what he called them? We're all working up to that question is, what does it mean to have deceit here? What does it mean to have deceit between you and God? We're working up to that. What did Jesus call those religious people? Do you know the word? Hypocrites. Hypocrites. I didn't tell her that in advance. She sits in the front row everywhere. All through school, you sat in the front row. Just teasing my wife. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? Someone who says one thing and does another thing. But in the days of Jesus, the word actually meant something more than that. The word hypocrite meant stage actor. You know, the actors on stage, they were called hypocrites. They were pretenders. They were actors. And so when Jesus looks upon many of the religious people, he says, you guys are all pretending. You're all pretending. It's not real. What does that mean? Jesus said it, what it means. He said, beware. Beware the hypocrites. They do their religion to be seen by people rather than to be seen by God. You see? Their religion is so other people look at them and give them a pat on the back, or other people think of them as good and moral. I like people thinking that I'm good and moral. That's why I'm doing this. That's ultimately what's going on. And it's not about relationship with him. That is the pretending. That is the deceit that we're talking about. And actually, what Jesus said, Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, beware. Be careful. Be on guard against the leaven of the Pharisees, the pride of the Pharisees. Be on guard against that. Be on guard against the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. saying that to his disciples, to his friends. He could say that to us. Be careful that you are not doing your religion for other people and not actually seeking to restore this. Be careful that you're not doing your religion for other people. And then he said, for nothing that is hidden will not be revealed, and what you say in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you whisper in the ear will be shouted from the rooftops. As in, what's really going on will be made known. What's really going on in you, between you and God, what's really there will be made known. Every so often, sadly, too often, every so often, a scandal is made known. A scandal comes to light. Some Christian speaker or author or pastor or certain ministry leader is exposed to be having had a secret life that is in great contrast with the public life. So much so that when you hear about the secret life, you ask the question, was this even real? The life that the public saw, was it real? Meaning, was it actually an outflow of substance, outflow of something between you and God? Jesus said, Luke chapter 12, be careful, because everything is going to come to light. You can pretend, but you can only pretend so long. The reason why Jesus had a lot of conflict with certain people was because they didn't fool him. They fooled other people with their sense of morality, but they didn't fool him. Okay. So what we're saying is this. There is a special blessing to be found. That's the what? A special blessing in which your sins don't count. Who is it for? It's for the people who are not pretending. Okay? The people who are pretending, it's not for you. That's the deceit thing. Okay? Well, now we've made our way to the big question. How do we therefore obtain it? How do we make sure that we're not pretending? Because it's easy to find yourself pretending, isn't it? I'll just be honest. When you have the eyes of lots of people upon you, it's easy to make that a focus and to forget about the eyes that are really upon you. It's easy. And actually, I told you about like ministry leaders who had a secret life that got exposed. The guy who wrote this psalm right here, King David. Maybe you don't know the story and I don't have time to recount it, but let me tell you, what he did in secret is worse than any of the scandals that we've heard about in our days. Worse, much worse, okay? Google it sometime. King David's great sin. Read the story. Don't do it now. You can Google it later. But let me just tell you, if you are hearing what I'm saying and you're like, you know what? That might be me he's talking about. I have been, even if you're not religious, you can still be pretending according to this way that Jesus warned us about. All that it means is you care more about what people think than what's really there. Because what's there between you and God, that is the most personal thing about you. You know that? That's why sometimes talking about God can make people uncomfortable. You know that? It's one of the reasons. There's other reasons it can make people uncomfortable. There's a lot of past, and people have past hurts. But one of the reasons it makes people uncomfortable is because it's very personal. It's very, very personal. So, how can we be sure that we're not pretending. And if we've been pretending, like King David was, how do we get out of that pretending? It's very easy, beloved. It's not hard. It's very simple. What we read in this scripture here is it says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sins are covered. And then you read later in verse 5, he says, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. So that word is repeated, and so there's a kind of covering that's good, and there's a kind of covering that's bad, right? What is the good covering and what is the bad covering? And we can actually go all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible, before Cain and Abel. Sin came into the world, and suddenly the man and the woman knew they were naked. And they were naked before sin came into the world. They were naked already, but suddenly being naked was a problem. And the reason it was a problem is suddenly, once sin came, the man and the woman knew that not everything in here is good. And I don't want what's good to be seen by others. And so they covered themselves with fig leaves. And a lot of this is symbolic, but they covered themselves with fig leaves, but the real covering was exposed a little bit later, because then we read, the Lord God walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and he said, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? And the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, they ran and they hid in the woods. They hid from God. And God, it didn't work. He saw them. Okay. And like, I see you hiding behind that tree, come out. And it's like, Adam, did you eat by any chance? Did you eat of that tree that I told you not to eat? You know, that's like the story if you don't know with sin. Did you sin? And Adam said, pay attention here. Adam said, the woman. The woman you gave me, here's the thing, the woman you gave me, she gave me the apple. It was the woman. is that correct, by the way? That is what happened, isn't it? But that's not the whole story, is it? Because Adam, then after she gave it to you, you went ahead and ate it, didn't you? Here's my point. And now we're getting into really the cover that we can walk in. What was Adam doing? God was basically saying, hey, your sin, let's deal with it. You and me, let's deal with it. I saw it, we know, let's deal with it. And what Adam did was said, it was her. Do you see? He's trying to cover. He's trying to cover. Empty religion, pretending religion, always looks down on other people. That is like the sign. That is the sign of empty religion. It looks down on other people. Because that's what it's doing, is it's trying to cover for what's really there. Yes, we are all sinners. And what we should be doing is dealing with it. This is what God says. Isaiah chapter 1. I see your religion. This is God speaking. I see your religion and I hate it. I hate it. But let's settle the matter, just you and me. Let's settle it. And see, this is the thing. As long as I'm looking down on other people, I don't have to face what's really here. As long as I can walk in this sort of delusion that I'm one of the good people, I'm one of the moral people, I'm one of the self-righteous people, as long as I can walk in that delusion, I don't have to deal with what's really going on here. The Bible speaks a lot about judge not lest you be judged. Forgive your brother. Don't look at them with contempt. And Jesus spoke pretty harshly about that. And the reason why he spoke so harshly about judging others is because it was evidence that you're not dealing with what's really here. Because as long as you're looking at others with contempt, you're still in that blindness. Because the truth is, yes, she ate the apple, but so did I. Yes, she threw a plate at me, But I've been known to throw some plates myself, you know? Yes, 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 there is injustice everywhere. But it's been here, hasn't it? That's why self-righteousness is such an offense. It's because it shows that you're pretending. So now, what is the thing to do? What is the how? How can we get out of this? This is the good news. It's so easy. It's so simple. Just stop pretending and be real. What he says is, I confess my sin to you. That's what I did. He says, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and didn't cover it up. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. It's as simple as that. It's just admitting it. It's just admitting what's really there. I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. Okay. I'm past my time. I'm going to just read the last part of the psalm. It goes like this. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad. You righteous, sing, all you who are upright in heart. The good news is, it's as simple as just acknowledging. By the way, the word confession was there. I confess my sins to you. I'm not talking about a certain religious ritual, or maybe you can call it sacrament. I'm not talking about going in a little box with a little vent and talking to a certain man about the sins you've done wrong. I'm not talking about that as far as confession in that sense. I'm talking about you and him. I'm talking about just being real, just restoring God. He says, the strange truth is, just turn to me. Just turn to me. He's very happy to forgive. He longs to forgive. He wants to forgive. And upon forgiving, this is what he gives. He talks about he gives. There's various things to be found here. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you. I will instruct you. I will teach you. I will counsel you. He says, my love will surround you. That's what we read also. The love of the Lord surrounds them. We've been talking about heaven today as far as how to get there. And yes, there is a day on the calendar where the dead will be raised. There will be judgment and heaven will... It'll happen here, by the way. A lot of people don't understand that. I said it last week. It'll be here. Heaven, the eternal place of paradise for God's people, is not going to be up there in the sky somewhere. It's going to be here on renewed earth with renewed bodies of the flesh. But the joy of heaven begins now. It's already begun. And that's what we're talking about here with his love surrounds me. He counsels me, he guides me, he instructs me. What I'm speaking of is called the Holy Spirit. Now we can go to God now and we can say, forgive me, Lord. In the name of Jesus, what Jesus has done, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that. I too am a sinner. And what you receive is not just something for later. Well, okay, stay in that place and later you'll go to heaven. That's true. Later you will. But now, there's a gift to be found, a gift to be received now. And that's the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is new life with God, which is the experience of the love of God in our life. I'm gonna close. We have some baptisms today, which are very fitting for what we're talking about. Now, if you're hearing all this, and you're like, all right, this is new to me. A lot of the stuff he's saying is new to me. It's new. If you're hearing this, next week after the service, we're actually going to have a baptism class. What you do is not, the baptism is something that you do as kind of like a result, as an expression of this new relationship. So next Sunday after the service in the lounge, there's a baptism class. But right now, to close, I'm just going to lead us on a prayer. And I'm going to invite the band back up. Right now to close, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And you can pray this if you want. The words that I use. Between you and God in that place right here. You don't have to be afraid. He knows. He knows. Everything that's there, he already knows. And he accepts you. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. Lord God, I pray. Lord God, we acknowledge that we have fallen short of holiness. We acknowledge that we have done wrong. We have committed injustice. We acknowledge that. I acknowledge that. Lord, I don't want to hide from you. I don't want to pretend. Lord, we acknowledge to you that we are sinners. And we read that there's a blessing to be found in which our sins don't count. That's the gift of Jesus. Lord, let that gift live in us. Like we read about. A love that surrounds us. Let us read about it. Let us know it. Let us walk in it. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.